Good morning. How's everyone doing? You're ready for Christmas tomorrow? Hopefully you're ready for Christmas. We kind of arrive on this day, prepare for the great event, the celebration of the birth of our Savior, and hopefully you're looking forward to that. Not only tonight to come out, it's a very special service, candlelight. It's a memory to build with your family, with your children, so make sure you come out tonight, but also today that we want to celebrate. I know it's snowing outside. I know we got all kinds of things to do maybe today at Christmas Eve, but let's really focus and slow down this morning and really focus on the reason for this season. We want to continue in our series, Journey to the Manger. And if you have your Bibles, take them out to Luke chapter 2. We'll be in that today and tonight also. But anytime we talk about the manger, we have to talk about responding. We got to respond to the manger. It's just not good enough to see the manger and see this baby in it, but he wants to respond. That's why he came for our response. There was a pastor, you know, pastors are supposed to be shepherds according to Ephesians chapter 4. And the word pastor actually means shepherd. But I remember reading an article many years ago, and this pastor said, you know, we need to get rid of that metaphor. We need to get rid of that picture of pastor because nobody knows any shepherd, of shepherds, because nobody knows any shepherds today. Nobody has any shepherds in their family. They don't really know any shepherds. They don't even know what shepherds do. And what he was suggesting, maybe we change the title to CEO or something like that. And the first thing that comes to my mind, that a CEO can't protect you. He can't guide you. He can't provide for you. He can't feed you. He can't lead you. He can't do any of those things. And when I think about that verse in the Bible in the Old Testament, it does say, the Lord is my CEO and I shall not want, doesn't it? Now it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And don't you just love the fact that God is our shepherd? Don't you just love the fact that even though I don't have to be a shepherd to understand what a shepherd does, that a shepherd guards, he protects, he leads, he guides, and he feeds his sheep is what he does for you and I. And I think it's so incredible when God chose to interrupt human history at just the right time, when he chose to send forth his son, born of a woman, born of the law, born to redeem those under law. And God made this announcement from the angels to shepherds. Now, I talked a little bit about last week about shepherds. Shepherds was not a kind of an occupation of people inspired to be. They were not looked up to. They were kind of looked down upon because they dealt with smelly sheep and they were out there all night. And they didn't look, no one really wanted to be that. But the Bible says that God came to the shepherds. And the Bible also lets us know that Jesus would later be called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd of his flock. And today I want to talk about to respond into the manger, to respond when we have a fresh encounter with God. Because the shepherds had a fresh encounter with God and they responded. We want to look at how did they respond. Because if we respond in the wrong way, that's not good. So if you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 2, we want to take each one of the responses, kind of get some understanding and make application in our life. So let's read verse 8. It says, now there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And we could probably say right there that this is just another night outside. It's dark for these shepherds and the stars are out and just an ordinary night. The sheep are out there in the darkness, maybe grazing, maybe laying down, whatever they may be doing. And maybe the shepherds are out there. It's just another boring night. Maybe they fill their night with, maybe they have some kind of games they play. Maybe some kind of card games they make up. Maybe they tell each other jokes. Maybe one sleeps while the other one stay up. But one thing we know is just another boring night, just another ordinary night that they were out there. Maybe they were hoping that something would happen, an animal would come to kind of break up this boringness, but it didn't. But what was about to happen, they were not prepared for it because they've never seen it before. And let's read verse 9. It said, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, the Bible says. And wouldn't you be terrified if that happened to you? So the first response to encountering God in a fresh way is it causes you to be overwhelmed. Can you imagine taking a toddler out to a 4th of July event, and they've never experienced that before? You take them out to the 4th of July event, it's night, and the display begins, and all of a sudden the fireworks take off, and they're going up in the air, and they see the sky lit up with all these things happen. Then they hear the boom, bam, bam, and all these loud noises, it can make that child very afraid. They can be filled with fear. You and I, having a few of those 4th of July underneath our belts, we look at that and say, wow, that's kind of neat. That's cool. But when is the finale going to come? When is the sky going to light up and all the sounds and stuff like that? But for a child to see it for the very first time, it can be something that's very terrifying because they've never seen anything like that before. So it can be terrifying for them. We find that with God. We find that in the Bible when the people who have a fresh encounter with God, sometimes they can be really overwhelmed when they see the presence of God. We find that in Exodus chapter 20. When Moses brought down the law to the people wanted to draw close to God. And the Bible says there were kind of thundering, there was trumpet sounds, there was all kind of noises. The mountain was filled with smoke. And his Bible says the people were so afraid that because they'd never seen anything like this before. And they're so afraid, they said, Moses, we don't want God to talk to us because we're afraid. And Moses, we want you to talk for us, for God now. We no longer want to hear from God, but we want to hear from you to speak to us about God. And you find the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah had a fresh encounter with God. He was overwhelmed. He says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. We find the same thing in Matthew 28 with the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible tells us an angel shows up and he rolls away the stone at the tomb of Jesus. And it says there that the soldiers that were there were filled with fear. Matter of fact, it says the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And we see that over and over throughout the Bible. You find that in the story of Jesus in the gospel where he multiplies the fish and the loaves from a boy's lunch to feed 5,000. The disciples couldn't understand what he was doing. They'd never seen anything like this before. They've never experienced this. They couldn't have a memory of the category where they could say, I could put this in this category because it's never happened. Then the next event, they see Jesus walking on water and he's coming toward them. And the Bible says they were so afraid. They were so afraid. Why? Because they never seen anything like this before. And now they finally got it. They finally understood that the one who multiplied the loaves is the same one who was walking on the water. And he was God. And they were filled with fear because they finally got it. And being filled with fear, to be overcome with a fresh encounter with God, is not a bad thing. To be overwhelmed by that. Because it's you and I coming to understand that God is awesome, and there is no one like him, and he's in a category all by himself, and God deserves our worship. And to be overwhelmed by God when we have a fresh encounter with God is good for you and I to come and recognize who he is, that he is an awesome God and worthy of our worship. And we see here the shepherds at night were overwhelmed. The second response to encountering God in a fresh way, it raises your curiosity. In verse 15, skip down, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. If it was today, they would be taking pictures with their smartphones, they would be taking a video, and they'd be posting it up on Facebook and other social media for everyone to see, so everyone would know all about it. They would know about this baby, this birth, and all these kind of things, and the angels coming to them. But they didn't have that technology. They didn't have that. So they have a choice to make. What are we going to do? The angels interrupted our night. We've never seen anything like this before. We can either go back watching the sheep, or right now we can go to Bethlehem and see what's going to happen. What would be their motive to kind of go to Bethlehem? And I was thinking about that. Probably the first thing that would be their motive was to be a part of the excitement. You know, to go there, all the excitement's got to be taking place. You actually go, we have heard the announcement. Well, now we've heard the announcement. The event has to be greater than the announcement. And let's be reminded of the announcement. The angel comes to announce that today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And then it says a little bit later in verse 13 that a host of angels come down praising God. So here's the announcement. They're seeing an angel visits them, a host of angels, and they're thinking, this announcement is tremendous, but the event has to be greater. We got to go see this thing. We've got to go out there. So the first reason, their first motive was to be a part of the excitement of what was happening, to see it for themselves. Perhaps the second motive was for them to go and check it out and kind of verify what was happening. In verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is one of the wonderful things that I love about God. We have this fresh encounter with God, and we're kind of overwhelmed by what we saw, what we see, what we hear. And God invites us to come in closer. He kind of intrigues our curiosity, and he says, come on in closer. In fact, he tells us, come on and check it out. I've got nothing to hide. And God invites you and I to check it out and verify. He said, I got nothing to hide. I want you to come in closer to me and come in closer. We find that in the book of Malachi. God says in your giving, trust me if you can. He says, come in and check it out and see if it isn't true. See if I won't take care of you. Check it out. We see it with the psalmist says, test the Lord and see that the Lord is good. And he tells him, come and check it out and find out that God is good. We see what Jeremiah says, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. He says, come and check it out. And I guarantee you that you will find God. And then we see it with Jesus. He says, come up to me, all who are weary and burdened, and check it out. Come check it out, and I promise you I will give you rest, is what Jesus tells us. And so these shepherds, do they go back to watching the sheep, or do they go to Bethlehem? Well, off to Bethlehem they go, and they go to Bethlehem to kind of check it out, to find out what is going on, to see if this is all true, to verify it. May I encourage all of us to check it out. May none of us be content with just an angelic announcement. May we all be content and being drawn closer to Jesus himself, because that's what it's about. It's about Jesus, not being just content and hearing about it, but about the person of Jesus Christ. And we learn about Jesus through this word of God, by digging deeper in the word of God. We learn about this by in our prayer life. We learn about that on Sunday morning by coming and checking out. We learn about that during our small groups where we come and check it out. And we invite you to come and check it out and learn more about God. When we come together in community to interact together, to kind of curiosity, to know more about God and to check it out. And if you're here today and I ever say anything on Sunday morning, you say, I don't really understand that, Pastor. Come up and ask me the question. Check it out. I may not have the answer, but we can check it out together. And that's what's so great about small groups. We come together and we check it out. We want to be a church where people are free to come and check it out and see if the Lord's truth, his word is true. And check it out. So we want to help people to check it out and to learn more about God. The third response to encountering God in a fresh way, it yields your sense of urgency. Verse 16 said, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the shepherds hurried off. The ESV says they went in haste. I can imagine how fast that they went. They hear this news. An angel comes and announces it. Then a host of angels come. And they said, it means, Lord, you better go see this. You better go see this as fast as you can. So they hurried off and they ran to Jesus. They went as fast as they could to him. I remember a couple years ago, during the summer, my car was having a hard time turning over. It's turning over really slow. And I knew something was wrong with the car. The battery was probably weak. I didn't want to turn over. But I didn't feel the sense of urgency because it continued to start. Because it was warm out and everything was fine. I didn't feel the sense of urgency till the cold weather hit. And then my battery would no longer turn over the car. And then I took it in right away because now it was a sense of urgency. See, I think today we have lost that sense of urgency in Christianity. And I think us as Christians, many times we have lost that sense of urgency, maybe because we've grown up here in America at ease, because it's really easy to be a Christian here in America. We don't have persecution coming down upon us, and it's really easy. But if you notice around the world, I think that is changing. We notice that persecution is happening around the world, and I do believe that one day that we're going to experience some type of persecution here in America. We should not be alarmed. We should say, oh, no, what's going to happen? Because I believe what it's going to do, it's going to shake us from that Christian ease. It's going to shake us from our foundation, realize, hey, to be a believer, it's going to mean something in Christ, and it's going to have that sense of urgency. Amos 6:1 says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. And if we were to translate that day, today, it would be, woe to those Christians who are complacent in America. We need to wake up. We need to have that sense of urgency. We need to have that sense of urgency for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, and if I would say maybe you're here and you're thinking about, I know about Jesus, I've heard about Jesus, but you say, you know, but I've got all kind of time. I've got all this time on my hands. And maybe you've been sitting here for 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, for a long time. Say, but I got all this time. And my question to you is, do you really have a lot of time? How do you know you've got a lot of time? It doesn't matter about your age. We've had several events happen around this area that we know that something can happen and can take someone's life very rapidly. We know that. So none of us know just because of our age that we have a lot of time. And so we look at this, and I believe that's why Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. He says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today, we don't put it off. We have to have that sense of urgency. I can't put it off and say, I got tomorrow. I've got next week. Maybe today's the day God is bringing it to you, because the day he wants you to do it. See, throughout the life of Jesus in the Old Testament, there was this expression called the day of God's visitation. It was kind of a technical term which referred to the time when God would interrupt human history and he'd come down and speak to man and walk with man, and that's what he wanted to do. And he usually do it one of two ways. It was either in judgment or in blessing. Well, Luke chapter 19 is that time, where when Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Olives on Sunday morning, you probably call that Palm Sunday, he was coming down on a colt of a donkey, and people begin to worship him. And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're taking off their coats, and they're laying it down on the ground, and the colt of the donkey is riding over it, and they're worshiping him. And you say, that's wonderful, isn't it? Well, on the surface, it is. But underneath that surface, what we find is happening in Luke 19 is Jesus was weeping. The Bible says that he wept at what was going on. And they would look at him and say, why is he weeping? Why would he be weeping? Because this is like a coronation. The people are finally acknowledging him as their king and everything that he wanted. And look at what's happening. But the explanation we get is why Jesus is weeping in Luke 19. And it's this. Jesus says, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to us. So he's weeping. You don't understand this time who is visiting you. You don't understand who I am. You don't understand right now the sense of urgency, what is happening. That if God is visiting through the Holy Spirit and he's tugging upon your heart right now, we must not ignore it. We have to have that sense of urgency. Respond to it. We can't say, I got tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe today. Or maybe God's not only about salvation, but God is laying in your heart right now about something he wants you to do. You say, I'll deal with that tomorrow. We have to respond right now. If I were to ask you to recall the days before you came to Christ, some of you might say, I came to Jesus kind of reluctantly. I had all these questions, and I had to have each one of those questions answered. And finally, when I had them answered, I came to Christ. Some of you would say, I ran to Jesus. And all of us came to Jesus in a different way. But what I like about these shepherds, what I really like about them, is there was a sense of urgency. They made haste, or they hurried, and they ran to him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you need to understand. You need to trust him and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. You need to understand the sense of urgency. If the Holy Spirit right now is tugging on your heart to say, I can't wait till tomorrow. You need to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, today. If it's right now, you say, I need to do that exactly today. You need to respond to him and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Or if you're visiting with family members who don't know Christ and you're out there and God is tugging on your heart and says, I want you to share with them today. You need to realize there's a sense of urgency. There's a reason that God's saying today, because today is a day of salvation. Remember this in Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what the Bible is saying is it's not maybe or there might be or hopefully they will. It says they will be saved that they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. And maybe you're here and I know most of you, maybe someone's here that I assume, we all assume knows Christ, and maybe you don't. What I want to encourage you to understand that God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And that's why we celebrate the birth of our Savior, because that's why he came to this earth. So you and I might have a relationship with him. And you might come to the point where we realize that God loves me so much because of my sins, it's separating me from God. And what God wants is that relationship. So he sent Jesus. Jesus grew up to be a man. He went to the cross and all of our sins were placed upon Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that you and I might have a relationship with him through the forgiveness of sins. And now what we have to do is place our faith and trust to Jesus. The Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, that you and I have to reach out and accept what God did for us, that he died for us. We do that by faith, by simply coming, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and right now I place my faith and trust in him. Please do that today. It has to be a sense of urgency. I've got to respond urgently. We all have to have that sense of urgency as following God, not just tomorrow or the next day or the next week. The fourth response to encountering God in a fresh way, it makes you naturally proclaim him to others. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. It's kind of funny. There are all kinds of information and material that you can buy to tell you about sharing your faith. There's all kind of conferences and seminars that you can go to about sharing your faith. And those are all good. Don't get me wrong. They're good. But these shepherds didn't need any of that. They had a fresh encounter with God. They had seen Jesus. That's all they needed to go and share it now. They had to go see this and they had to go tell everyone what they saw. And so they didn't say, wait a minute, I don't have a degree in apologetics. I didn't go to seminary. Wait a minute, I didn't take that class at church to learn about this. No, those things are all good, as I say, but none of that is needed. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have all that you need to go and share it with someone. We can't keep it to ourselves. We need to share it. And this is the greatest time to share right now, guys. Right around where many family members are going to get together. And you need to explain to them the reason for the birth of the Savior. The reason that Jesus came. We need to share that with them. But I know that many times we don't share because it's a, wait a minute. Maybe they're going to ask me a question that I don't know. Join the club. That happens to me all the time. Someone asked me something I don't know. Like, why did this happen in my life? And I honestly don't know why this happened in your life. I don't know. I don't have all the answers for that. That's why I like the simplistic sharing of their faith that happened in John chapter 9. You might remember the story. The man was born blind and he has a fresh encounter with Jesus. Jesus heals him of his blindness. And the Pharisees get involved and his parents get involved and they're pressuring him. Who healed you? What day did he heal you? It's the Sabbath. And they're asking him all these types of things. And finally, the man's kind of tired of it. And he kind of looks at him and says, listen, this is all I know. I once was blind, but now I see. He says, that's all I know. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's our story of every one of us. All of us have a story to share, and we need to share that story. We all have a story to say, I know what my life was before Jesus. I know what my life is, how I came to Christ, and I know my life after Christ. And that's what it should include. Before Christ, how I came to Christ, and after Christ. The most important, your story, is how you came to Christ. Make sure you include that so people understand. What made the difference in your life was Jesus. We all have a story. We need to be sharing it. And this is a great time to share your story with family members and with friends and other people. To share the tremendous story of Christmas, of what Jesus did in your life. We need to share it. We have to share it. Others people's eternity is depending on us to share that tremendous message. The fifth response to encountering God in a fresh way, it allows you to rise to authentic worship. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Once you have seen the manger, and once you have seen the cross, the worship can no longer just be words. It can no longer just be words that we're singing. And these Christmas songs can no longer just be words. Come let us adore him. Just can't come from the words, but it has to come from the depths of our heart. To come let us adore the one who came to die for us. To come and adore him. The one who came to give his all for you and I. We just can't sit here and just sing the songs with words, but they have to be heartfelt. We have to come with this genuine, authentic worship is what the Bible is saying. And we come to know him. And after we come to know Jesus, the guilt is gone. The past is gone, and our future now is so bright because of Jesus, and it's all because of him. Not anything we've done, it's all because of Jesus that we have all this hope because of him. And our response to Jesus has to be a sense of urgency, that we respond not only to sing it, but to live it. That we really genuinely live the life that he has called. That this Christmas season reminds us of so many things, and I know we're so busy, but do not forget the reason for it. It's about Jesus. Make sure you're spending time that you get in the scripture and have some devotion to it with him. Not only sing those Christmas songs, but sing them from the heartfelt joy of all it means, the truth of those songs and what they really mean. But have the opportunity with your little children to sit down and share the Christmas story with them. If your children are older, sit down and share the Christmas story. If you have family members, share the Christmas story of what it means to them. and all that the Savior means and what the Christmas really means. So they may have a true understanding, not what the world is saying what Christmas is, what God says Christmas is, what it really means, that God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. He came to do that because he loves us. He sent Jesus because he loves us. And we have to be reminded of Christmas, often be reminded, that's what Christmas is about, to praise and to worship his son, Jesus.